Yeah, so I, as I started to say, sorry to disappoint you. No helmets this morning. I did have a hard hat that I almost, but I did want to tell you this. I was reminded of a story that Nikki Gumbel tells about. He had a relationship with a man by the name of Gibbo. Of course, you know, we're talking UK here, so I mean, I have a friend named Gibby, but this was Gibbo, and when he was a young man, he worked at the huge London-based Selfridge department store. And one day, when Mr. Selfridge himself was at the store, the phone rang. Gibbo answers, and it's the person on the other line is asking for Mr. Selfridge. And so when Gibbo passed along the message, Mr. Selfridge said, "Tell him I'm not here." And Gibbo hands him the phone and says, "You tell him. You tell him yourself." And of course, as you might expect, Mr. Selfridge was a little bit upset, but took the call. And afterwards, he kind of started yelling at him. And Gibbo says to him, "Listen, if I can lie for you, I can lie to you." And though it caught Mr. Selfridge by surprise, he ended up having the utmost respect for this employee. And I share that just on the as we're going to look this morning at the occasion of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being in the going through the furnace. But it was clear, you know, that they knew their God. We're gonna talk about that at length this morning. Well, not long length, just as a matter of focus. But they, because they knew their God, they refused to compromise either. And it wasn't just their lips proclaiming that there is a God. It was in their lives. And we've been looking at, if you want to put up that first slide, Vigo, just this, you know, this theme throughout the that's not it. That's actually last week's. Yikes. Time out. Yeah. Actually.
That was a flash from the past.
Actually, when I'm doing that, I'm not calling time out. That T is on me. All right, well, never mind. It should be a series of courageous events, five or six?
Five, yeah.
Huh, and it's dated last week?
It's dated this week.
Today. So, scroll down through them. Oh, bummer. Okay, well, technical difficulties, but the sermon will go on. The key verse in the book of Daniel, but the people who know their God, and when we say we'll be strong and do great exploits, it's the New King James Version. The New American Standard Bible says the people that who know their God will display strength and take action. I like that. The English Standard Version, there are, what, 50 versions? I love them. I just love the fact that we've just get to I don't want to say break down the Word of God, but communicate, just dig into the Word of God and hear the depth of its voice, its meaning. The English Standard Version, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. So shall be strong and carry out great exploits, will display strength and take action, shall stand firm and take action. Here's the DCBV, David Charles Brooks Version. But the people who know their God place their complete trust in Him. But the people who know their God, will be overcomers.
They don't fret.
I'm not going to read the entire third chapter, maybe just about half of it, but the occasion is King Nebuchadnezzar gets this idea, has this nearly 100-foot idol. The scripture calls it, I don't know what it looked like, and there's not a lot of description about it, but it was pretty tall and pretty impressive. And decides that everyone needs to bow down to it. And which is kind of, well, Nebuchadnezzar has already shown he's not the sharpest. Anyhow, he demands that everybody bow down, and of course decides that if you don't bow down, then you'll be thrown into this blazing furnace. And of course the music sounds, everybody bows down except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know where people ask, where was Daniel? I don't know. We don't know. He's not mentioned, but he's certainly around because he shows up in the next chapter or two. But as a result, when King Nebuchadnezzar is told that these three guys didn't bow down, he goes ballistic and has them come and before him, and then he says this. He says, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods and to worship this golden statue that I have set up? I will give you one more chance." That was gracious of him. And if you refuse, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God? I just love this question. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Famous last words, yes? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you." I think it's the King James that says, we do not even need to be careful how we respond. And yet it's not to suggest that they're flip or, disrespectful. It's just that we don't need to huddle. We don't need to, do we really want to, is this what we really want to, is this the battle we really want to choose here? We don't need to even think about it. We've already decided. Even if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, Your Majesty. And I'm confident that was not spoken snidely. It was respectfully, but confidently. That's exactly right. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, which they certainly did. We want to make it clear to you, Your Majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. And as you expect, Nebuchadnezzar was so furious, his face became distorted with rage. You can certainly picture that. He ordered some of the strongest men, Scripture says, and had them prepare. They said they tied the three Hebrews up, threw them into the furnace, and because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire, the flames actually killed the soldiers as they threw the men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, Your Majesty, we certainly did." "I see four men unbound," Nebuchadnezzar says, "walking around the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god." And then Nebuchadnezzar came close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. Come here." So they stepped out, and everybody saw that the fire had not touched them. The Scripture says, not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. And then, yeah, amen. And then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him." He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. Who is the angel? Yeah, it's what they refer to as a Christophany, or a cameo, if you will, of Jesus in the Old Testament. And he says, they defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make this decree, if any people, here he goes again, whatever their race, nation, or language, whoever speaks a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb. Their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no God that can rescue like this. And then the three get promoted even higher than they were before. Great story. I realized that as I was reading this yet again, that I've known this story as long as I can remember. I can remember with my dad reading a Bible storybook that had to been this thick. Of course, if I remember it being that thick, it probably was maybe half of that. But it was a thick book. It was thicker than the Bible that we had. So it was, and it was just full of, and it just went through, you know, story by story. And I can remember reading it through, and reading it through again, and again. And so this is one of those that you just don't forget. And you even to this day, you just think, and these are guys that are not 20-somethings. These are teenagers. These are high schoolers, most likely, and at least that age. And is their faith not amazing, or what? You know, such boldness, such courage, such strength of spirit, such resolve. Loved not their lives, as John said in Revelation, loved not their lives even unto death. And it's as though, you know, oh king, we respect you and all, but we answer to a higher power. Not the ruler of this world, but the ruler of the universe. Yes? All appearances could lead one to think that they knew their God. Now, I was thinking about that. You know, certainly they knew, you know, what we regard as the Old Testament story. They would have known about Joseph and Moses and Joshua and David and Gideon, and, you know, the list would go on and on. They would know those stories, but it's not knowing about those stories, you know, knowing about those stories of faith, I'll say it this way, does not produce death-defying faith. Rather, only knowing their God, genuinely knowing this, their God, results in that kind of faith. Did any of you get a chance to listen to the lyrics of the song I sent out? Wow. Yeah. Even so, or even if is the mark I had sent out to those that I had email of. I sent out this Mercy Me music video, and the title of it was Even If. I'm not going to sing it for you this morning. No, I don't know. That makes it even more. So he, you know, the one stanza I'll just read here. I know you're able, and it's as you recognize, it's taken right from the scripture. I know that you're able. This is the three young men declared. I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. Jane?
It occurs to me that these three teenagers were also prisoners. I mean,
yeah.
They had just been during the whole world had been wiped out.
That's a great insight. The fact that they're already going through the fire.
Right.
I mean, and again and again and again, and it's like, what's that?
So he didn't save them from that one.
No, and wasn't saving. There were several that, I mean, they were still alive, but they were still captive. And wouldn't it have been just easier, like, well, we're captive. Yeah, let's just take a knee, you know, but no, there was that resolve, and So I just want to say three things. I'll just see if I really do just say three things here, but. If nothing else, just to say this, that number one, there will be tests. Tests, plural, like many. And by the way, I mean, even though this test is fire, and many of our tests, you know, can be likened to fire for sure, but not all tests are in public. And I guess the one thing I want to say about that is that the reason they were able to pass this public test is because they had passed a lot of private tests. And why the fire? I mean, I just think of, you know, if God, if you're able to rescue them in the fire, why not just before the fire? And it reminded me of a verse out of 1 Peter that says, these trials, these tests, they will show that your faith is genuine. Might even say it this way. They'll show whether your faith is genuine or not. If it is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed, like he was in the furnace. Good visual there, isn't it? When Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Wow. We want to see Jesus, even if it takes the fire to have him revealed. So number one, there will be tests. Number two, there will be questions. Often without answers. Okay, it's 5 to noon. And I would like to show, I just think that this is too good of a video to pass up. It's about a 3-minute video, I believe. This is another music video. And listen to the message of this. That declaration. And what a great prayer. What a great God, I don't know what you're doing. I do have a lot of questions. I have a lot of pain. I'm feeling the heat of this trial, whatever it is. But I know who you are. I like the line, you know what it's like to lose. What it's like to lose a child. So there will be tests. There will be questions. There will be God. And that's, I guess that's the thing that throughout this series is that, not that we can memorize the book of Daniel or know all the stories and all the, but that we would know God. Not just not we know a lot about God. We know a lot of stuff. But we there's got to be a resolve in our God. Nothing else matters but that I know you. Yeah, I've got plans and I've got desires and I've got things I need to do or want to do but God, bottom line is, I want to know you. I want to see you. So we sing these songs, but it must be, especially when we're going through the fire, when we're being tested. God, I want to know you. I want to know you more. You say more love, more power, more of you. Last verse. Well, second to last verse. Isaiah 43, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Got to read that again. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, what? When you go through rivers of difficulty, you won't drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, what? Won't be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. I personalize this. When I go through the rivers of difficulty, I will not drown. And I'll just, when I go through, I will not be burned up. I will not, the flames will not consume me. For you are the Lord, you are my God. Last verse. I guess just the, you know, you hear Job say, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. And he says, you know, things like, I know that I know that I know what? My Redeemer lives. I'll stand before him no matter what. Here's the verse, the last verse I want to read is Paul's. I mean, we hear Paul say a lot of things, but and we want to chime in with the first part of this verse. But he says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Yes? We want to know that about God. We want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. But he also says this, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Lord, we say we want to know you, but it's easy for us to put condition on that phrase. Can we know you without going through the fire? Can we know you without experiencing the suffering that you experienced? Without experiencing, I guess it goes without saying that in order to experience your resurrection power, there has to be a death. So Lord, it's not that you get any pleasure in seeing us suffer. That's not what this is about. But recognizing that because we live in a world of suffering, there will be, there'll be challenges, there'll be tests. And there will be questions, things that we've pretty much determined that we need answers. And yet, Lord, you don't always promise that we will get the answer that we want, the clarity. Could you give more clarification on this, Lord? So we ask that even though there are tests, and even though there are questions, and even though there's an absence of answers, even though we don't know what you're doing sometimes, let it be said, let it be a fact of our lives that we know not only that there is a God, but that you are our God, that we know you. So Lord, that's our prayer this morning. We want to know you more. We're not interested in a shallow relationship. We're interested in going deep. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name. Let's stand. Short blessing, big blessing. May you all see Jesus.
Amen. High and lifted up.
High and lifted up. Even in the flames. Amen.